Hey guys, here in another episode of Eli Mike. Thanks so much for being here and watching us in the beautiful city of Beverly Hills. We have a musician, an artist, multi-talented individual woman who is empowering the world right now and doing everything she can to become the one only amazing person that she can be. Her name is Jennifer Messina. How are you, Jennifer?
I'm doing amazing. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Mike?
Doing amazing. Sitting here with another Gemini is always the best.
Of course. You
know, and we talked about it. Talked about it off camera, so I'm a little bit scared. What is that you called it?
Gemini sandwich. Scorpio and a Gemini sandwich.
That's really scary.
There's at least four people.
Like, right.
I know.
Is a five-person podcast today, so you guys are all going to enjoy.
So if you're Geminis, you know what they're talking about, and if you're a Scorpio, I'm scared. You already know what it is. But thank you so much for coming here. Where are you coming from right now?
So I live in Hollywood, but I'm originally from New England.
New England. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Wait, hold on. Is that New England out of the country or New England, a city somewhere here in America?
New England, like Massachusetts, New Hampshire.
Oh, okay. So in America.
Love it.
Okay.
The birth of America. It's Boston, right? That's where Boston is.
Yes. I love that.
And how long did you live there before you moved to fabulous Hollywood?
So I probably moved there about 8 years old. I grew up in the greater Westchester County area, New York. So a mix of my personality is very New Yorker and Bostonian. Like, I have a lot of that.
I feel it. I hear it.
Okay. So I moved out here back in 2018. I lived on and off here since then. But I've been pretty permanent here for a while.
Okay.
I always say that I'm bicoastal, not bisexual.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with bisexual, but that's just my saying.
I get it.
Today it's bicoastal.
I'm bicoastal.
Okay. We just learned something new today.
So what brought you from Massachusetts to come to California? What inspired that move?
I love the entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. I also get seasonally depressed, so
they
have all four seasons over there, and I don't like to maintain snow. So I came out here because it's the land of opportunities. There's so many wonderful people you can meet, and I feel like here I was able to express myself in many ways, whether it was my sexuality or how I dress or the career path I wanted.
But hold on, you look amazing and very sparkly. Let's talk about your outfit really quickly. How did you put this together? Because I feel like you're going out and shining in the performance. Like, you're ready to sing.
I mean, you are in Beverly Hills.
You are.
But, you know, we're in Beverly Hills.
Jesus.
But, oh, my gosh.
Well, I just remember being a little kid. I grew up mostly in New Hampshire, New England.
Okay.
And a lot of people wear, like, big sweatshirts and Uggs or sneakers and jeans. And I always wanted to wear a dress or, like, be bold and sparkly.
Oh, my gosh.
And it didn't really, like, resonate with the community out there.
I mean,
nothing wrong with that, but it just wasn't me. So coming out here, I get to play dress up every day if I want
to.
Oh my gosh. Look like a homeless person at 7-Eleven.
Right, exactly.
I do both.
There you go.
So if you were to walk down the street or go to the supermarket wearing that in New Hampshire, the eyes will look, or it'll be like, who is she?
Yeah.
Or is it just awkward out there?
It's awkward.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I see.
I think it'd be a mix of both, but it'd be awkward. Like, you're not from here.
Yes, I see.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you look amazing.
Yes, you do look amazing. Yeah. You look so amazing, and there's so many sparkles. And again, we're in Beverly Hills, and you do so many different things. We said it at the start of this. A couple topics we didn't say were, we're going to get to even your tequila brand. You also have been in the Army. Is that how you say it? The Army for many years. I believe you said it was 14 years.
It'll be 14 in May.
Oh my God, 14 in May. So I want to get to that too. But before we get to like the glitz and the glamour, the, you know, 14 years in the Army, all the hardcore stuff. We like to go back and let's stay on the topic of you being, growing up when you were younger. Are you an only child? How was your upbringing?
So I grew up mostly an only child. I do have a brother. He's 15 years older than me.
Okay.
So it's interesting because it's a relationship that I really, really developed in my adulthood.
Because
think about it. Every time when he was 21, I was can't do math. Four. 21 minus okay, 15.
Yeah, like four or three. Or
it's yeah, six, no, guys.
Exactly.
Right.
Numero yeah, seis.
Like, I'm not I going to the bar that. At six or okay, anything.
Maybe. No, just kidding.
We had tequila like before that. The show, guys.
And right. Now he's like, he's my best friend. Like, I can't love get him it. Off the phone.
Oh, my God.
It's like a 3-hour conversation about the Dodgers winning to... I don't know
amazing.
What's going on in the news. He's just a great guy. Love so it. I did that. And then I, growing up in New Hampshire, when I was a little kid, my parents wanted to get me into the community. So they said, all right, we're going to put you in some piano and voice lessons.
Okay.
Go figure it out.
Oh, wow.
So I went out and I performed and I did every talent show and every recital,
oh
every like local small town thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's
wow.
That's what I did.
Amazing.
I was in the Miss America pageantry system for a long time.
Amazing.
Learned a lot of lessons there. Like, I didn't really do anything that was outside of the scope of local New Hampshire until like way later in life.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's powerful stuff.
Yes.
And as far as, you know, going back into still discussing your youth,
mm-hmm.
did you always like to perform? Like, were you the type of girl that would go up in front of like the camera or watch the TV from this close? Because my daughter used to sing in front of the TV all day.
Mm-hmm.
Were you that person, like, somebody give me a microphone, I want to perform or do something, and that's what pushed your parents to push you to do what you're doing now? Or,
well, when I was like probably as young as two, I'd jump on the coffee table and I would like pretend I'm at the MTV Awards or something like that.
Yes,
I'd get
yes.
my costume, like a brush mm-hmm. or something as a mic, and I'd be
okay.
singing and
love
dancing
oh
and
my gosh.
Shaking my head.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, sometimes I would like
it.
Start to strip, and they'd be
yeah.
like, no, 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 Jennifer,
right.
clothes on.
Yeah, they're like, that's a little too far.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, okay.
And I had like multiple layers of
okay.
a coat and then to the Cinderella costume or some
oh, wow.
crap like that. So,
okay.
I mean, I always was animated and wanted to
love
be
it.
Like, center of attention on stage.
Okay.
If there was a band on the stage, that was me right
mm-hmm.
there, still on the show on the floor. So
there you go. Oh my
it's
god.
It's always
love
been
that
way.
Did
love
you have
that.
An inspiration that like a role model that you would watch on TV that just kind of helped bring this out?
Yeah, Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera.
There
okay,
you go.
Those
okay.
were the girls of the time,
mm-hmm.
the it girls.
Yes, yes, definitely, definitely. I think last time we were talking, we were also talking about Paris Hilton, and we're all trying to, you know, collab soon, so that's going to be amazing, and, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Right? And it's amazing that you're inspired by, you know, women who work so hard, and that's what you are. They're all multi-talented,
mm-hmm.
I believe. Even Paris Hilton, she's somebody who is multi-talented,
yeah.
and I see that in you, you know? So it's amazing you telling the story of you being a little girl and the things that you wanted, and today it's actually here in play as we sit here today. It's beautiful.
Right, and
you
if
know?
you read her memoir and mm-hmm. you listen to her documentary, she talks a lot about just being so different
mm-hmm.
and how the world maybe didn't understand. And a lot of that mm-hmm. was about her great ADHD
yes.
journey that she's been talking
mm-hmm.
about.
Yes,
and
yes.
I think that's so admirable to
mm-hmm.
come out and say that because
mm-hmm.
there's so many people who felt like her as a kid. Like,
definitely.
I don't have ADHD. I have depression, anxiety, a couple other issues. But
got it.
You know, I always felt out of place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people couldn't understand what was wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that there's something wrong, as she would say.
Mm-hmm.
It's her superpower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly, exactly.
And there's superpower. A lot of power in just the acknowledgement of understanding what your, we'll call them the deficiencies inside us, like those problems of depression, self-defeat. Some people, there was a guy here that we had on our podcast that would scream at himself in the mirror saying, you're not worthy, you're not good enough. Self-deprecation, I think, is what he called it.
Yeah.
So I can see how those little things are somewhat instilled in everybody. Somebody has some issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's great that you can find that. Like, you saying the word depression in front of people is so powerful because you can just be like, I'm perfect. I'm
right.
good in every possible way. I have
right.
no problems with
it. Like, looking at you, most people behind the camera are going to be, oh, my gosh, she's so glamorous, so shiny. But you still struggle just like everybody else. You know
right.
what I mean?
And that's part of my, and we can get into it later,
mm-hmm.
it's part
yes.
of my platform is
mm-hmm.
I, like I said, I love to play dress up. I always have as a kid and wanted
yes.
to act and sing and everything.
Right, right, right.
But at the end of the day, I'm human.
Right, exactly.
And every
exactly.
human has a struggle. And just
yes.
because everything looks
mm-hmm.
perfect doesn't
mm-hmm.
mean it is perfect.
Right, right, exactly, exactly. So then when you're growing up, again, this is kind of like you, and then obviously your parents are supporting you as well.
Yeah.
Is your parents people of performance? Are they like, you know, people who sing or anything like that? Or are they just solid in you, you know, jumping on that coffee table and they're like, you know what, this is not our world, but let's put her in it.
Yeah. I mean, my my father grew up in Massachusetts. My mom came from Panama, like 20 years old, and moved to New York City to become a model, like chase the American dream. Okay. So for my family, it's always that if you don't go after it, you will never know. Mm-hmm. And when you're left in life wondering, that's really sad. Mm-hmm. So if you see an open door, you should give it a chance.
Wow, that's amazing. I love that advice. Oh my gosh.
So now you're in California. You made the move. You're here. What happened? Because a lot of the stories we've had is, I didn't know what to do. I don't know who to talk to. I thought it was smaller or bigger. What happened the moment you stepped foot into California? What were the first steps that you took?
Well, let me back that up real quick. Mm-hmm. Because when I was 17, I got into college.
Okay.
I was accepted at Berklee College of Music in Boston, and I was like, this is my ticket out of everything small town. I really want to have a career. I'm going to go to college there. Okay. I didn't have money, so I joined the Army as a way to pay for my education.
Okay. Powerful.
And that journey, I ended up going through ROTC in college. Like, I did more than just my enlistment contract, right? Okay. I became an officer. It wasn't until I was 4 months in the middle of nowhere, Missouri, at a training school after I graduated college, where I was like, I don't know really what to do. Should I go back to New Hampshire? Because I had my car there in Missouri, too. Uh-huh. I had road trip there. Okay. And I said, I don't know if I should go back to New England and, like, come with family and friends and everything familiar, or I should just go out west to L.A. and say, let's go. Like, I'm never going to know unless I do it. And I was about like 23, 24 years old.
Okay.
So 2 weeks before I graduated that course, I decided I'm going. I started setting up all my plans at an Airbnb for 2 weeks, and I just started driving.
Oh my God. Amazing. So you were going, you were basically in the Army for how many years at this point? 3 or 4 years? Maybe 5.
2012 to
2017. Okay, so
5 years.
Yeah, trust me, I am not.
I was letting you guys answer that. I knew the answer.
Where's ChatGPT?
Yeah, honestly, I'm like, he's actually not here today. But again, so you're going to basically pay for your schooling, which is going to be for you to be an artist, to sing, to, you know, do you. In those 5 years of being in the Army, like how were you able, were you going to school too at the same time, basically?
Oh, yeah. So it's a requirement of ROTC. You have to be a full-time college student while going to the training.
Okay.
And my training was at a totally different university.
Wow.
You think Berklee College of Music, artsy, hipster school has an ROTC program?
Right. No. I didn't think so. And that's why I was like, I have to ask this question. So it's like two different worlds. You're like you just said, artsy, you know, Berklee, like this is like high-end type things. And then from that to being in the Army, I mean, that's totally different.
I mean, I would get up at like 4:30 in the morning, go to PT or physical training at like, I don't know, 5, and then go home, shower, eat breakfast, and then have to be in full-on creative music school mind.
Wow.
Like, it was just a lot of back and forth, left and right brain.
I want to break down the Army situation, right? So, and I'm sorry, I don't mean situation, but I mean situation. So,
I mean situation.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So being in the Army, knowing how glamorous you look with the pinks and your real humor, the real person inside.
Yes.
How did you handle that?
Right.
Because could you dress like this? Could you be who you wanted to be at the Army? Or did you have to hide that and become this soldier?
Well, I'll put it this way. When I joined in 2012, it was more like I had to be one of the guys. That was the perception I had as a woman there. I made sure I had the tightest bun. I made sure I did push-ups and sit-ups as fast, if not more, as the men.
Oh my gosh.
I made sure I was one of them.
Wow.
Today's Army, a little bit more, they celebrate a little bit more about individuality.
Okay.
So, like, there's much more feminine women who are more feminine presenting, or, you know, the girls express themselves a little bit more than maybe back then. Mm-hmm. But then again, I'm only talking about my perception, right?
Of course.
So I would, being like 17, I still didn't really know myself. So I just kind of went to boot camp and kind of just tried to figure it out and fit in, because I said, I can't fail. I will never get the career I want if I fail at this. Like, this is my golden ticket to leave New England and go actually start my music career.
Wow.
Wow.
So you were, like, literally willing to put everything on the line.
Yeah.
Somebody who you're not, I mean, this is not who you are, because you're more, again, you're using your voice, you know, you're in Berkeley, like, you know, young woman at that point, 17, you just probably want to do your makeup and sing, and you're like, I will go put everything on the line and even be in an army with, like you just said, the tightest bun. That is, like, not who you are, but you did it to sacrifice to basically become what you are today. And I mean, like, look at you sitting here today, so sparkly, and it's just so amazing.
I
sitting
wanna,
with,
like, when I hang you on the ceiling, like, just trying.
You know,
I'm a disco ball.
There you go. Love that. Love that.
But and, I was like, no dirt. I never really I never really played in the dirt. I didn't run. I wasn't some athlete. Okay. I did ballet.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
You know?
Okay. So totally
I was very
not you.
Shy. And wow. Now you have this drill sergeant in my face just, like, yelling at me to go do push-ups. Like, I've never shot a gun in my life.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a sacrifice. But as you know, anyone in any industry, mm-hmm. you have to make sacrifices to get to what you want. Wow. And at the end of the day, it's built the leadership and confidence that I have today in my entertainment career, I have to thank to the Army. It gave me every resource.
Wow.
It showed me every situation. And I said, okay.
Amazing.
Wow.
And no bullshit for me.
Okay, I love that. And if we can stay on this topic, so that 5 years, at least that first 5 years, did you like it? Because right now we're sitting at almost 14 years where you're in the Army. There must have been something in there that kept you to say, you know what, I'm going to keep going even in this field. Because obviously today, I assume you don't have to be in the Army. You know, you have you have your brand of tequila. You're singing. You're doing so many different things in technology and crypto. But you're still, you know, part of the, you know, Army, correct? The establishment.
Yeah.
So in that first 5 years, did you like it?
When I graduated boot camp, I felt a sense of empowerment. Like, I felt like it was like a whole new side of me unlocked that I never knew. So I ended up staying, and I ended up going to ROTC because I wanted to be a leader. I, you know, I was a very young specialist, E4 in the Army, and I wanted to be able to lead and make an impact for women. You know, I wanted to, if a soldier was having problems, I wanted to be the one that they could ping on, and I would go solve and take care of everything or protect them, you know.
Wow.
So I that's why I went to ROTC. I mean, yeah, it also helped pay for my college, a great benefit, but
of
if you're
course,
gonna stay
course.
In this long, you mm-hmm. gotta have some passion for it.
Yes.
And some of the best people I ever met in my life were from the military.
Wow.
The camaraderie is just impeccable, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. I've been out there, I've deployed, I've been in situations, and it's just really great to see that you have those people who went through it with you, and you can always call it 3 a.m. when you're losing your mind.
Yes.
It's like another family
there,
huh? Like, you have your people. Do you ever miss people that you specifically built relationships with there?
Yes, absolutely. But, you know, even if it was 10 years ago, I could call them right now, and it would be like it was yesterday.
Wow.
There's something magical about that.
That's
amazing.
Oh, my God. I get the chills when you
Very
say that.
Very patriotic, too, for
that's
sure.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, so then you now you're on your way to California. You're like, okay, do I go back to New England or do I go to California, Hollywood, the stars? And that's who you are. And I think that's where we were. So you were about to make that decision.
Yeah. So I, like I said, 2 weeks before I graduated, I said, you know what, I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. And then after I graduate the next day, I start driving, and I'm seeing all these beautiful parts of the West that I've never seen before.
Okay.
Like, I'm seeing Utah and Arizona, mm-hmm. and you know, I drove all the way up mm-hmm. to, I always wanted to go to Seattle, Washington,
oh
so I
God.
Went there.
Amazing.
So it wasn't just a straight shot to LA.
Okay.
It was kind of like 2-3 weeks of a road trip, like, just discovering myself in the West.
And you did this all alone by yourself?
Oh, yeah, I did this all alone.
Wow.
Oh,
my gosh.
That is powerful.
Yeah.
I don't think I have the guts to do that.
Right. I can't even go to, like, 7-Eleven alone.
He needs me.
But just saying.
I mean, 7-Eleven could be a little scary.
You know, so you feel me?
In Hollywood.
In Hollywood. Okay, so that sounds like an adventure. And so you get here, and this is like a question we have to ask that people when they're coming from other countries or other states. When you get to Hollywood, was it everything you expected?
It was intimidating.
Okay.
I didn't know really what to think of it. Like, I would drive down the streets and see all the pretty lights, and everything's so familiar because you see it in movies and TV. So I was starstruck by all of that.
Okay.
I thought that was cool.
Oh my God, love it.
But my purpose wasn't to tour. My purpose was to work and be in that industry. And that is daunting because where do I find a casting agency? How do I know that that person is going to be the one that everyone has something to sell you here, you know? And when you're that young and naive, like, you're like, oh my gosh, this is my ticket to everything, to riches and fames and all the stuff. So yeah, it was pretty daunting. Thankful for the internet. I could look up Facebook groups and Reddit posts and stuff like that. But it, it took a lot of trial and error.
Definitely.
Did you initially, like, let's just say within a 3 month period, did you find what you were looking for right in the beginning part of you being in California, or did it just trial and error? Did you make some big mistakes in the beginning when you came here?
I would say by month four of living in Hollywood, I became so broke, I actually went back to serving full time in the military.
Oh my god.
I was doing casualty operations. I was still in California, but I was like in the Riverside, San Diego area. So, and I was just folding flags at funerals. I was coordinating funerals. So a lot of what you see here in Southern California for those military honor services, I was a part of that for a while.
You know, you're speaking such truth, because even us living where we're at right now in Beverly Hills, so many times your dreams get crushed, like obliterated in every possible way. You go back to trying to do something else and you realize you don't love that,
right?
And you want to seek again and keep looking and finding the right path or speaking to the right people, because there's a lot of sharks out there that'll take your money, that'll take your fame, suck you dry, and then throw you out back out, and then you're like, all right, now you're this shaking dog behind the building and it's raining and you're like, well, who's gonna help me? So I get that.
And not only that, we have some property in the Riverside area, and, you know, it's very different from the Hollywood and Beverly Hills, palm trees and, you know, Ferraris and Rolls Royces everywhere. When you get to Riverside, it's very much a desert. It's, you know, very dry. It's very hot. So I can only imagine what you were thinking and what you were going through after those 4 months. Maybe you could touch with us on that, because from palm trees to the desert, literally.
So I was at March Air Force Base, and it's that's a very deserted area, I think, at the Moreno Valley, Riverside County.
And hot.
Which I obviously was not used to heat to that level.
Because you were in ballet.
I remember I would drive to, I hadn't deployed yet, so I hadn't been to that part of the world.
Oh, right.
So I had put my coffee in my car, and then I'd leave it there all day, and then it would still be hot after an 8-hour work day. Like, What is this?
Really that hot?
Yeah, it was still warm. I'm like, I could drink it on the way home. But I felt really defeated. I feel like I did. I had such a euphoria to get out here and so much self-discovery. And I feel like it was all so much, and it just like stopped. But honestly, like if I had to do something, I had to work, and I knew that that job was going to pay my bills. I was a second lieutenant at the time, and so I felt really defeated, and I ended up getting into a relationship for about 3 years that was pretty abusive. So then it was a lot of back and forth, and I quit my dreams for even a little bit because...
Was a relationship from the military? Somebody from in there or something?
No,
outside?
From Tinder.
Guys.
Love it. We love
Tinder. Tinder is not... Well, I'm not going to say
it. It was from Tinder.
Okay.
They were in the military too, but different branch. Different branch. like, it was a lot of the jealousy and insecurities in that relationship actually like made it so I stopped doing that for a while. And then one day I had like a really bad mental breakdown. I said, you know what? And I talked to my ex or my person at the time, and I said, I have to get back into this. It's what makes me happy, and you're either going to support me or not. And she ended up supporting me in her own messed up way. And, you know, that's I kind of started to find myself again. It wasn't until 2020 when the world shut down, I'm stuck in an apartment with an abusive person, by the way.
Wow.
And I really lost my mind to the point where I had to go to rehab.
Okay. And the rehab was just because of the depression, or was it some kind? What
codependency.
Codependency.
No boundaries, no self-respect, no love for myself at all. Anxiety, depression. I mean, I was a shaking, depressed mess. I mean, I was a battered woman. I mean, let's be honest. I just, you know, could never.
Right.
Like, oh, you know, is she going to be pissed off now? Is she going to yell at me? Is she going to hit me? Like, what is it? So, yeah.
Wow.
I went to rehab for about 9 weeks.
Okay.
And it was outpatient. I got out and I said, forget this. I came here to be in L.A. What the hell am I doing in Orange County? I love Orange County, but what the hell am I doing in Orange County?
Oh, my God, yes.
So quickly I moved out about 2-3 weeks later. I was couch surfing for a little bit, and then I got into an apartment, and it's still the apartment I have as of today.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I have not left. It's my perfect gem in the middle of Hollywood.
Love it.
And it's front locked.
Okay, right. We love that.
And it makes me happy, and it was really my first space that was truly my own.
Oh my God. Sorry for the silence. It's just that.
I love it.
It's like, wow. Like, so, okay, because this was a lot. And so, you know, again, you're now in a desert. Now there's abuse going on.
Yeah.
You know, now you're even in therapy. This is not because of drugs or anything like that. This is because
of mental health.
I mean, thank you for sharing that, because I've actually personally have not heard of this before, where you can go to rehab for personal. Like
mental therapy.
Like,
absolutely.
Like, wow.
I always thought it was because of a drug or something like that.
Right.
If you're bipolar and you're not in a treatment plan, whether it's medication or specific routine, like,
then rehab
that euphoria can. I don't have bipolar, but from what I've heard in rehab, that euphoria could be like taking drugs. You're not even yourself.
Wow.
Obviously, varies per the person, but. There's a lot of different mood disorders that really require more professional care.
And you would say that, you know, going through this hard time, what got you out of this, because that's a lot, was the rehab? Is that what really pulled you out of it? What gave you the strength to go to rehab? Was there one day you were like, I need to, like, what pushed you that day? Was there something really, and you don't have to share, it might have been really, really crazy.
I was arrested for my own safety. I really lost my mind. I don't tell the story all the time, but I do say, like, I struggled with self-harm for a very long time. It was something I was addicted to, cutting, burning, all that type of stuff. And that definitely sent me to the ER that day.
It was for my own safety,
and I respect that. And I said, you know what? I can't have this anymore.
Right. Wow. Oh, my goodness.
So that is an impactful story. That alone is a book. And go further, so obviously, let's talk about the you now, right?
Yeah.
It sounds like you have so much more going on. You have over 800,000 followers on Instagram.
Yes.
Over 600,000, I believe, on TikTok.
Right. Millions of followers.
So you're growing, and you're building your brand. You know, Jennifer Messina has so many different things going on for her. You're also an ambassador for tequila, an ambassador for crypto. So there's so many things now going for you. So what happened? So you transitioned from getting out of the rehab.
Yeah.
You went back to Hollywood. You're still in Hollywood right now.
Still in the same apartment.
Which is great because you never took yourself out of Hollywood, kept the wheels turning.
Right. I mean, or it stayed in SoCal. I mean, even when I was in that relationship, I would drive like 2.5 hours from San Diego to go like be on an audience on a game show. Like, it didn't matter what it was. I was going to do every single casting that I could do.
Really?
Yeah. But it was during that whole COVID rehab time. That's when I actually started launching my brand.
That's when
I started putting out my first song and getting followers and getting brand deals and stuff, because I finally allowed myself to be me. The world was closed. What else was I gonna do?
Right.
You know, the last caveat of it is that I needed to work on the boundaries and self-respect part and get myself out of that relationship. And once I got out, that's when everything else catapulted.
Oh my God. Okay, so let's stay on this catapult moment that you're having right now, because I'm feeling it. So, okay, you're catapulting. Was there like a day where all of a sudden you started getting like a bunch of followers, because, you know, you have millions of followers? Like, how did this happen? Was
just
it one night?
It was over time.
Okay.
I will say the first single I ever released has over 500,000 streams on Spotify.
Amazing.
It got
congrats.
At least a little over half of them that first few months.
Wow.
Which
loves
is like,
it. Wow. Oh my gosh.
Because I never released songs before that. I've been singing my whole life, but I didn't have the balls to do
it.
So. During COVID, it's kind of like, what do you have to lose? The world's over.
And I love your answer. Yeah. So do you feel the growth? Because a lot of people have different answers. And ours was like, we did one or two videos and legit like 800,000 followers from like two videos. Like, God bless, you know. But would you say your answer was the consistency of doing, just keeping doing it over and over? And then over time, you know, people are hearing your beautiful voice and your talent, and you're showing your talent consistently, and that's what hit. And then the view, you know, the followers started happening.
That's what I did. And but I learned that from the Army, like, things aren't going to happen always overnight. A plan has five phases, and you have to follow each step, especially step number three, which is the execution in an op board or operations order. These things take time and have a lot of different blocks that have to fall into place.
Right. Yes.
So I knew if I keep building it consistently and I keep analyzing and getting feedback, I just keep tweaking it.
Amazing.
And that's where it's gotten to today.
Love it.
What's the name of that one song that created all those followers?
Time Heals Everything.
Love okay. it. Oh my gosh.
That sounds like the story of your life.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. This is so beautiful.
At least I feel that way. I mean, I don't know if it is, but it feels that way because of what you said.
It definitely is, because you can do all the work, but you have to keep working. And, you know, I always tell people, especially people who have like a really close death to them, you have to go through the seven stages of grief. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me to list them. Mm-hmm. But the most important one, in my opinion, is the last one, acceptance. Mm-hmm. And you don't get to acceptance on night one. You get to acceptance with time.
Wow. That's so powerful. Oh my gosh.
That's a huge challenge, because you're right. To get to acceptance means you've already burnt yourself completely out to understand who you really are at the end.
Correct.
That's so powerful, because I don't think any of us, at least not me and him, we're not very accepting right now. Like, we're who we are, and we're like, no, that doesn't work. But you've been through that trial, and you understand yourself to a point where you're just going there. That's the target, and you know where to go.
I'd say acceptance is more healing. Not necessarily like, this is what I'm going to be, and this is the end. It's because you're always going to grow until the day you die. You're always going to like develop and educate yourself. But acceptance is like, okay, I'm at a place of comfort, or I'm at a pace that I want to be.
Okay. And what kind of, so I know what kind of music you perform, because we've heard your music. But for those that are watching, what's the vibe of your music?
I mostly do pop music.
Pop music.
Yeah, I do a little bit of a lot of different genres. Like, sometimes I've done a cover of like Radiohead's Creep, the Haley Reinhart version from Postmodern Jukebox. Okay. But I mostly do pop, and I do ballads and stuff like that.
Love it.
Go ahead.
How was the community? How was your followers like reacting to your music when it came out? Were they loving it, like, you know, the pop music? Is it connecting to them more, like, you know, you said it's a time song, so like how were they reacting to your release?
I think what my audience really likes about my music is the mental health aspect, like we were talking about before. You see this 5'2" beautiful brunette, and I dress like this, and things may look really perfect, but at the end of the day, like, there's a suffering soul in there that is healing.
Right.
And that's okay. They're sitting at home in the middle of who knows where, and they're saying to myself, okay, I had this really, really bad day, but, like, you know, not even Lady Gaga has a perfect day every day.
Right. Oh, my God, I love that.
It's relatable. It's human. Yeah, that's the most important part about music is emotions.
And this is something that you're a huge advocate for on your Instagram page. This is something that you talk about, you know, to help others, obviously. It's something that you went through, so it's amazing that you can help people, because sometimes people go through things and they will not tell the story or help others, but you're doing that. How is that on your soul, if I can say, because you literally have to bring it back up? I don't know if that's something that's hurtful to you. Like, how is this all working for you?
Well, I'll say I recently learned... I started going to women's Bible study, and religion and Christianity, I grew up Catholic, but all of Christianity, it's still something I'm healing from my past growing up LGBTQ. It's new, uncharted waters for me. But I learned through there that the purpose I have in this life is to be a healer. And by healer, that could be in many ways. So one way I do through my music is if I share my stories and my pain, and yeah, it does hurt. Sometimes there is PTSD there.
Right.
It might help someone live another day. And to me, like, if I have to sacrifice that, then that's what I'll do. Like, I launched a country album last year.
Okay,
like,
yes.
I said, I'm more of a pop singer. But I had, like, one of my friends who was my creative director say, I challenge you to write a country song. So I really tapped into a relationship that broke me for a very long time.
Wow.
And it took me 2 weeks to write 5 songs. And then I recorded all of them. And I probably spiraled for the next 2 to 3 months.
Okay.
And it was not good.
Oh my
it was
gosh,
really bad. God. I ended up reaching out to this person and having to sit and talk to them about a whole bunch of stuff that was going through my head for a month. And it's like, this relationship was in 2016. Like, what the hell, Jennifer?
Oh,
what are you doing?
Okay, okay.
This is 2024. I'm writing this album and I'm losing my mind, right?
Yes.
And I'm doing it because I know that someone needs to hear what I'm saying. And they need to know that it's not the end of the world.
Wow, that is so powerful. You helped so many by doing that. And again, you put yourself on the line once again to just push forward to make sure you're going to progress, because obviously this is your music as well. You know it's going to be a hit. But at the same time, you're like helping other individuals at this at your cost, honestly,
right.
At your cost, because, you know, for the 3 weeks after that, it was kind of like super tough on you. So
always have a safety plan. Like, that's something I learned from rehab. Like, especially you have any type of addictive personality, like, always have a safety plan and your support system. So it's for all of you songwriters out there. Like,
love it.
Don't lose your mind.
And so you are, you know, now you're in California. Now you're doing your music. Now, you know, hundreds of thousands of subscribers and millions of followers. What actually brought you into all these other worlds? Because I feel like for a while you were locked in on the army, you were locked in on your music, but now you sit with us here today. And again, it's the tequila brand, it's technology, it's Zavi, it's so many different things.
Right.
Let's start with the tequila brand. I'll let you introduce it because it's such a cool brand. Oh my God.
Well, one comment I'll make is I learned in this life as a creative, always keep your passion and emotions into your art, but I don't come from money. I come from small town. You know, my parents both worked jobs, and I realize in this world that, like, sometimes your art isn't going to pay the bills. And I'm not saying to put it on the back burner. I'm saying that you got to find creative ways sometimes to get capital. So obviously when I was 17, my creative way was join the army. Then obviously I learned a different passion out of it. So when I got out of the army, like, more full-time, I'm semi-retired now, I got a check from the VA as part of my disability compensation, and I said, okay, I'm gonna pay off some bills, but I have to use something of this money to progress my future. So I became an investor to Biatch.
I
love the brand.
Okay.
The CEO, Aunt Sue, she is the chief biatch in charge.
Okay.
She
Aunt
is,
Sue, her name is?
Yeah, everyone
Aunt
calls
Sue.
Her Aunt
oh
Sue.
Oh my gosh, shout out Aunt Sue to
we
your biatch
We love
brand.
Sue.
And this, like, is so cool.
Okay, we love Sue, and this is one of the, like, most unique tequila brands I have ever seen out there. I mean, I would only say the only other person who was creative like this was Elon Musk when he came out with his tequila. It was like a lightning bolt. But this is so much better. So, like, can you talk to us about,
I mean,
like, wait, is this
a
lamp? Can you
the
turn
lips.
On, can you turn on the lamp? Is this the lamp?
Yeah.
Hold on,
oh, my gosh,
on.
Let's see. Okay, I think it was on
it
a moment.
Oh, there it is. Yeah,
okay,
yeah, yeah.
That's my finger.
Right,
well,
sorry.
It's like, talk about recyclable sustainability. Is so you can pull the lamp right out. As you can see, take it out.
Oh, yeah.
It's a tequila bottle that I finished earlier
today.
Okay,
maybe pour us a little.
Just kidding.
Let's try it out.
Oh my God.
And
right.
And that's like a piece that you can just put in the bottle, and now you have a lamp.
Oh my God.
You can put
so cool.
flowers in it, use it
oh
as a vase.
God.
Like,
so
there's,
smart.
It's multi-purpose.
Oh my God.
I haven't tried it yet, but I think you could put a candlestick in there.
Okay,
you know?
There you go.
Put
there
it over
go.
A nice table.
I'm gonna figure out what to do with that. And then what about the little hats? Like, that is so different.
It's so bachelorette party. They're like little collectors. collectibles.
And it even says biatch on it.
Yes.
So yeehaw. I love that. We have to try it, Eli, so maybe you pour a little bit for all of us.
So while I pour, what inspired you to join them as an ambassador?
So for me, when I met Sue, I met her at a woman's event. It was called Usher's New Look, to which at the time she was the board president. And I met her in Las Vegas, and she had the bottle, and she was showing everybody, but the tequila had not yet come into the U.S.
Okay.
So she was still sourcing the supply and demand. So I had an opportunity to go to Atlanta for actually an army training course, and she invited me to stay a week at her house. Amazing. And that's where I learned everything biatch and everything about Sue.
Love
and,
it.
You know, she's a go-getter. She's a serial entrepreneur. She's a very strong lady who has been in a lot of male-dominated industries. She used to work oil, gas, utilities.
Amazing.
Like, she had her own company for over 20 years.
Okay.
And being an army officer, like, I know what it's like to be in that type of industry and be the short woman that no one wants to take seriously, but you have to be the strong one in there.
Right.
So I really resonated with that brand, and I learned through investing that you can love a brand, it could taste good, it could be cool, but the people behind it have to be driving it.
Right, exactly.
That's the only way it's going to be successful.
Yes.
I could get plenty of other friends I could invest into their company, no offense to them. Like, it's just, it has to be the right timing.
Yeah.
And it has
to.
Oh, yes.
Did you hear that?
So that's the Rosa. The Rosa is it's a Blanco.
Okay, that's
but it was in a red wine barrel for 12 weeks barreling,
gosh,
and
no
that's
way.
Why it has like a pinkish color.
Oh my gosh.
Dark,
I mean, we love pink, by the way.
The dark pink is the Reposado. They both have won awards, but the Reposado is just, it's unbelievable.
Oh,
so you're going to have to try both bottles tonight.
Okay, I love it.
Yes.
Well, cheers to your, you know, you being, you are the CEO as well, or?
Oh, no.
Oh,
Sue's
yes,
the CEO. I'm an investor.
Investor. And cheers to your investment. It's such an amazing company.
Thank
oh my
you.
God.
Well,
cheers.
Judge the tequila taste, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cheers.
I'm scared.
Oh my gosh, that is clean.
It's actually really good.
Wow. Yeah.
You won't be hungover tomorrow either.
Wow. That is very clean. Oh my goodness.
It's 100% Blue Weber agave. It is chef's kiss.
Wow.
And oh my gosh. I have tasted tequilas that are like $200 a shot. I mean, this is so much more cleaner, even just the way I tasted it right now. I didn't make no face or anything. Like.
So is it being sold pretty much anywhere, or is there certain locations? Or?
So you can buy it online pretty much everywhere. We're almost able to ship in every single state. And, you know, every week there's more growth and improvement of where we are. We're in a lot of different liquor stores all over the country.
Wow.
We're constantly expanding into different retails. And I know we have some big news coming out on where else we're expanding, but I can't say anything yet. I'll let Sue speak up on that. You can always check us out at biatchtequila.com or online biatchtequila and involved in this woman empowerment brand.
Wow, this is definitely woman empowerment. It's so amazing. We may have to get involved.
Yeah.
This is so lit. I just love everything about it, the shine, everything. And then let's see, one second, I'm gonna pause. Scarlett, can you try to just maybe try to have the fan this way. There's like a little fly in here and it's bothering me so bad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'll
make one last
comment about it and then we can move on to other things.
So
yeah.
Just because it's like, sorry. Okay, so we can start again. So just make the last comment and then we're going to go next.
Sure.
Okay.
So I will say about Biatch.
Yes.
Coming out really soon and you can see on our Instagram, we'll have our silver bedazzled bottle.
Oh, my gosh.
And
okay.
Is that
extra
also
Anejo?
Oh, okay. Is it going to be in the same bottle?
Yeah, it's the same shape, but it's bedazzled.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
And silver.
No,
it looks
way.
Like a diamond lip.
Oh,
like
my
it's
gosh.
Marilyn Monroe rich,
wow.
honey.
Oh, my
God. And it comes
God.
In this box. You open it up. It's, like, so classy.
Okay.
I'm so excited.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to buy, like, 10.
Oh, my God. I already know who to give these to. So
exactly.
And we have to keep them for ourselves because we're, like, glamorous. You know what I mean?
So you'll be, like, my kitchen is just a bunch of Biatch bottles
there
all
go.
Over the top of it. It's like
glammed out lips.
Yeah.
Loves it.
Did she ever tell you what the reason behind the name, but why was it called Biatch?
Well, in the 60s it was such a derogatory word created by men to you know, dismember women. So what we're doing is we're taking the word back and we're making it into empowering.
Yes.
And I get it. Some people are like, it's kind of complicated or like crass, mm-hmm. but it's not that it's crass. It's it's strong.
I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm a biatch.
I like it. Yeah,
I am a confident, strong, empowered woman.
Honestly.
And it's not even a brand just for women. It's for everybody.
I mean, we're drinking it, so I mean, sheesh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's everyone empowered.
Right, right, right.
And except misogynistic people. They can go away.
Okay, there you go. There you go. So then tequila brands, and then not only that, you also have got yourself into, you are into technology, you're an investor in crypto. Is that correct?
I just started getting into Solana world.
Okay.
I'm still a little new to crypto and AI.
Got it. Yes.
But yeah, I've been working with two companies. Mm-hmm. One of them, Zavi, which I met you guys at during Tech Week.
Yes, and when we met you, you looked so glamorous. We're like, who is that?
I mean, instant friendship.
Right, right.
And they were really great panel hosts.
Super cool.
You too.
And the way you spoke on the panel, I just want to like hear more. I just want to hear more. And that's why we have to have you on our podcast. Yes.
Yeah. And I think I know there's a lot of questions about what AI is replacing or what it will replace. And I think in this world, I've learned you can't replace a human. You can't replace emotions. You can't replace the idiosyncrasies that make being a human so beautiful.
Right.
But you don't have to struggle as much. That's the purpose of technology since the beginning of time. Like, you know, the wheel was technology.
Right.
Computer is technology. Mm-hmm. And all it did was it improved people's lives.
Yes.
So far, everything seems to be going now in the right pace. It looks like you're connecting with brands. You're building your own brand as being this amazing singer.
Yes, yes.
What's next? So obviously, I know that this is a hard question because you're still in the now, right? It's hard to say, all right, I'm ready for the next. But where's your vision at right now, right? So you're singing. Have you performed in big stages? Is that your next step? Are you doing any collaborations with other performers? Where's your mind at the moment?
Couple things. So I am going back to the studio. I have a producer. We've been working on a bunch of new pop sounds for like probably the last 2 years. But I'm going back to the studio in Washington towards the end of the month of November. So I'm excited to wrap things up and really start developing a release plan.
Loves it.
And I've been performing some of those songs on some of the shows that I've been in. I've been performing at different places in LA, and I've been performed in New York and in New England, like just little venues everywhere. And I would say my biggest collaboration that I've really been getting involved with is a company called Space Blue.
Okay.
They're very crypto forward entertainment creative industry and giving back and investing in those projects. So they're doing a launch on November 11th where they're opening up the metaverse. They built this metaverse before Elon and Facebook and all these, like a real metaverse where anybody can go in and be in space and go see artwork or listen to music. And this company, what they actually did is they actually made a time capsule and they put a bunch of stuff on the moon.
No way.
Yeah, they did.
Gosh.
So
wow.
they're really the pioneers right now in this industry, and getting to work with them has been really amazing.
Wow.
You know, Dallas Santana, and I love Marshmello.
Oh my
his
God,
pup,
yes.
Oh crypto
God.
Pup,
wow.
is on the moon.
No way. Oh my God, really?
That is so
yeah.
cool.
But we've been working on some music with like talented producer Andrew Lane, and we're working on some of the catalog that their company owns.
Yes. Yeah.
And I can't talk too much about it, but it's really getting me back into that more rock and roll Woodstock era type of music.
Wow. Oh my God,
so
love it.
As soon as it comes out, I'll make sure you guys are the first to know.
Please. I can't wait
let
to
us
see
know,
you.
Let us know the next. Yeah, exactly. Let us know the next place so we can be there and cheer you on.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be so exciting.
So
that's what's going on right now. So then, we like to see like your vision. So then in 5 years, do you think you're going to be just like fully blown into like now your music, even though you already are right now, but like again with these different genres, like, you know, the rock and roll, like do you feel like music videos are going to be made at this point? Like what is like a real in-depth 5 year of what you see in the next 5 years?
This is going to sound very interesting coming from a strategic army officer, I don't believe in 5, 10, 70 year plans. Okay. And the reason why you're so focused in that in grade school, because there is a trajectory, right? You're in kindergarten, you need to make it to 12th grade. Right. You go to college, you need to make it to senior year. Mm-hmm. You need to graduate, right? I got so caught up with that in my mental health of like, I need to be married in 10 years.
Yes.
Guess what? I'm not married.
Okay, okay.
I look engaged, but
okay. I was gonna say
to myself.
There you go.
You're self-engaged.
Right, right.
I'm self-engaged, okay, right? Okay. You know, me and all my personalities.
Yes, you know. Love okay, love it, love it.
So I don't get so fixated in that. In 5 years, would I love to still be doing music and touring and be on a bigger scale? Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yes. Is that my 5-year plan? No, but it is my next plan, and and I'm going to take my time and do it right.
Love that.
That's fascinating.
And what about relationships? Because again, you kind of went through a really hard time. I know right now you're, you know, in the right place.
I've dated several other girls.
Okay. So as of right now, single. Dating. I don't know. If we can talk about
you're
that.
Here and there. Is that does that make sense? I don't know.
Nothing official. Perfect. Hopefully one day.
There you
she's
go.
She's going to see this and kill me.
Right.
There
so
you go.
Whoever you are, shout out. Just say. Because we know you're going to see this because this was way too good. You know, just say.
And before we go too far, I remember when we met you at Zavi, you gave us this lipstick.
Yes.
And I don't want to deny the fact of having you speak about it because that is so cool. The
and
way
it's
of
another
the
brand.
Yeah,
it's another.
Yeah. But this is your brand.
Am I wrong? Messina Glam.
Yes.
What inspired that? So we obviously got not a sample. We got the whole thing. I'm actually giving my daughter's coming for Thanksgiving.
Yes. So we have it like wrapped up.
We literally have
it
ready for her.
So excited.
It is in such the most coolest bottle. What inspired that?
Yes, we need it.
And what is it? Because
everybody remember, this is her in another line of business. Now you're in cosmetics with your own name on like the coolest lip gloss. Like, tell us about this.
So I think a lot of people get confused with me because they think I just put my hands in too many things.
Okay.
It's not necessarily that I have like 50 different ambitions that I'm trying to do at once. It's more of all of these brands I'm a part of, whether it's Biatch or Space Blue or my music or Messina Glam, they all relate to myself. In one way or another. And most of them are about empowering, mental health, acceptance, like confidence and building a better version of yourself. So the Villanera is the name of the line.
Yes.
It is my third line.
Okay.
I actually started this e-commerce company on deployment because I needed something to do that wasn't army, that a project for the year.
Are you guys like hearing this? Because like you're literally saying you created this when you were in deployment.
Yeah, when I was deployed overseas, I did this.
That's kind of cool.
I wanted to learn drop shipping. I started with like a drop shipping e-commerce clothes store.
Okay.
And what makeup, the lip gloss sold the most on the page. Mm-hmm. So then I started working with those manufacturers and creating my own brand. So I went, this is my third one, and this is the most personalized hands-on one, and it's shaped like a crown with like some scales and like almost like a sharp scepter.
Yes. Okay. It's gonna pop up on the screen, by the way, so you know.
Well, you could wear it like on a necklace, or you could wear it like on a keychain, and it dries really quickly as a lot of bright, bold colors, and all the names are like Boss Daddy, Sadistic Queen, FUR,
love it.
Feral DeVille.
Oh my God.
And if someone comes and tries to come after you in a parking lot, you just got to grab it out of your purse and say, nah.
Yeah.
Because it looks like it would be a weapon.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's not sharp enough that TSA will confiscate it, but it'll definitely hurt.
There you go.
I've tried it on several people.
Oh, my
God. That is so cool.
There you go. Look, you can look good and protect yourself at the same time.
That's right. I mean, all of those defense keychains thing, it's a very popular trend on TikTok. I don't think that's going anytime soon. So now it's cosmetics that will defend yourself.
Yeah, we're actually releasing the apparel ourselves sometime in January, and we'll love for you to attend. And we actually have a surprise for you too. So, but we appreciate you being on this podcast. Honestly, it's crazy how a whole hour passed, but you're so inspiring. I mean, especially being able to be so vulnerable and explaining exactly situations you've been through. Because we are the same like you when it comes down. We have our hands in 100 jars.
Right.
And it's that ability to have the opportunity to mold yourself in every different type of career or idea that we have. And keep going. Because that's exactly, these podcasts, we do them because it also provides literature for us.
Yeah.
Like, we're learning through you, and I'm sure perhaps we're also showing you. And
no, I've learned nothing.
Right, right, yeah, yeah. For
real, well, for real. I learned that I got a little buzz from that little lipstick thing.
Okay, hey,
the,
you know.
From the B bottle.
There you go.
But sure. But it's enlightening all the time, and it's such a pleasure to have you and be able to talk to you. And instead of being out in public and always going to events, that's one thing. But sitting with somebody in their podcast for us is, we get to learn from one another.
Personal.
It's another form of, personal. Of collaboration, personal. Too. But yes. We do thank you for being here. Jennifer Messina, how do everybody find you? Is it just through Instagram? How do they find you?
Any social media platform except Snapchat.
There you go, there you go.
Snapchat's okay. Dangerous.
Oh, my God. It is,
that's
it
why
is.
I had wow. him get off it. Do yeah. not be on Snapchat.
You know, I learned, I learned from South Park. We call it FapChat. I'll let you Google that one.
Oh, my God. I'm doing that right after.
That'll probably be fun.
Love wow. it, love it.
But, yeah, thank you so much. And honestly, yeah, guys, so can't wait. For you guys to see the whole podcast.
Oh,
appreciate you guys being on here.
So
and
much. Thank you so much. You were so inspirational, and coming from another Gemini, just the energy is everything, and keep being sparkly and being you. And honestly, it just makes me want to go out there and also just do more. You know, like whatever you're going through, you could just do more, and it's just so amazing. You inspired me today, both of us, I'm sure. And thank you for being on the Eli and Mike podcast. We appreciate
kidding,
you. So. It was me. It was
I
me.
Just needed to make
well,
it
cheers good. To yes. all of
oh
you.
Oh, my God. Where's my bottle?
Oh, my God. Thank you so much.
Cheers.
To be out.
To be out.
Cheers, guys.
Yes. Cheers. Thank you.
Bye.